Okay, so are you ready to dive into something really exciting today?
I am.
Open science.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, it's really causing a muzz in the research world.
And you have brought the goods today. We've got model policies,
I
guidelines.
have. I've got definitions.
We're going to really get to the heart of what open science is all about.
Absolutely.
Now, some people might be thinking open science, is that just about making research papers free?
Right.
But here's a little sneak peek. It's so much bigger than that.
It is.
This is about changing the entire way research happens.
It really is.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty of, policies and practices and all that, let's step back for a second
Yeah.
and get a clearer picture of what open science actually is.
Absolutely. The UNESCO recommendation on open science provides, I think, a really comprehensive view of this. And what's really fascinating is that it goes way beyond just open access publications, although that is, a key part of it. But we're talking about opening up research data, educational resources the software researchers use, even engaging the public in new ways, and respecting diverse forms of knowledge, even.
Okay, so it's really multifaceted.
Is.
Like, it's not just one thing,
No.
it's a whole bunch of things.
It's a whole ecosystem.
Okay, I like that. So it's like opening up all the doors and windows of the research world and letting the fresh air in.
Yeah, it's a good way to think about it.
Sounds pretty revolutionary.
It is.
But I have to ask, why should all of this matter to, like someone who isn't a scientist working in a lab?
Well, that's where it gets really exciting, I think.
Okay.
Imagine a world where the latest breakthroughs in, say, cancer research are instantly available to doctors worldwide.
Yeah.
That could lead to faster diagnoses, more effective treatments.
Right.
Think about open access to climate data, empowering communities to adapt to the impacts of climate change.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's the potential of open science,
Yeah.
to accelerate discoveries, to find solutions to the challenges that we're all facing.
It's about making that knowledge, a shared resource, a
Exactly.
common good.
A common good.
Everyone benefits.
And, with greater transparency, you also often get increased public trust in science, which is more important now than ever, I think.
It's like building this giant collaborative research hub where everybody's invited to contribute and learn. And everybody can benefit from it, even if they're not like, a scientist.
That's right.
Awesome.
So, to make all of this a reality, we need to have some guidelines in place, some structures in place.
Right.
That's where these model policies come into play.
Okay, so we've got like the blueprints.
We do.
We've got ones from LEARN, UNESCO, OpenAIR. We've got them all on the table today.
We do.
These are like the blueprints for building this open science future.
That's a great way to look at it.
But before we kind of dive into those, can you give us like a quick rundown of what these policies generally focus on?
They all emphasize two, I would say, key things: the responsibilities of researchers
Okay.
and the support that they need from their institutions.
Okay, so it's a two-way street.
It is. It's a partnership.
It's a partnership.
Researchers need to be able to manage their data effectively, use open licenses so others can access and build upon their work, really embrace this culture of transparency.
Right.
But the institutions need to provide the infrastructure for all of that to happen. So we're talking about things like data repositories. You can think of those as secure, organized libraries for research data, training on open science practices, and even rethinking how research is evaluated and rewarded.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a pretty big culture shift,
It is.
like learning a whole new way of doing things.
It really is, yeah.
So are these policies all in agreement on how to make this happen, or are there like some different approaches being proposed?
There's definitely a shared vision, I think, across the board, but they each have their own kind of nuances. For instance, they all highlight the need for data management plans. These are essentially roadmaps for researchers to organize and share their data effectively. But the level of detail and the specific requirements, that can
So
differ.
it's like having different dance instructors,
Yeah.
each with their own style,
Yes.
but all teaching the same basic
I
steps.
love that analogy.
It's all about like, creating something impactful together in the end, but
Absolutely.
yeah. And speaking of impactful, one policy, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but one actually suggests that universities should reward researchers for using open science practices.
Yes.
That's a game changer.
Huge.
But we'll delve into those details in a bit. First, let's unpack each of these policies a bit further. Okay, so the LEARN policy. What are the like key things listeners should know about their approach?
So the Learn policy is really interesting because it focuses on really building a culture of open science from the ground up.
Okay.
It emphasizes practical support and training for researchers.
Got it.
So, for example, they suggest that universities should provide really clear guidelines on how to create data management plans, offer workshops on open licensing, even have like dedicated support staff to help researchers navigate the world of open science.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. It's like giving people the tools and the training wheels to like help them get comfortable with this new way of writing.
Exactly. And it also talks about the importance of changing how research is assessed.
Okay.
So traditionally, you know, a lot of emphasis has been placed on publishing in high impact journals, which can be very expensive and often restrict access to knowledge.
Right.
The Learn policy suggests shifting the focus more towards the quality and the impact of the research itself, regardless of where it's published.
I see.
So that could mean looking at things like how many times a study is cited by other researchers, how it's being used to inform policy decisions, even its impact on society as a whole.
So it's less about where you publish and more about what you contribute.
Exactly.
To the world of knowledge, which
yes.
I like that. Okay.
It's about impact.
Now, we also have the UNESCO policy on the table.
Yes.
How does their approach kind of compare?
So UNESCO takes a broader, more global perspective, I think, which makes sense given their mission.
Right.
Their recommendation on open science covers a really wide range of stakeholders, from individual researchers and institutions to governments and international organizations.
Wow. Okay.
Well, the thing that's particularly interesting is their emphasis on promoting equitable access to open science.
Yeah.
They recognize that there are these existing disparities in terms of resources and infrastructure, and they call for specific measures to address that.
Okay.
So, for example, they talk about the need to support researchers in low and middle income countries and ensure that open science benefits everyone, not just those with the most resources.
Yeah, it's about making sure open science truly lives up to its name.
Absolutely.
It's open to everyone.
Exactly.
Regardless of, like, you know, where they're coming from.
Yes.
That's really important.
It is. Okay.
Now, we've got one more policy to unpack, and that is the one from OpenAir.
Yes.
What makes their approach unique?
So OpenAir, they stand out for their really strong focus on citizen science and open educational resources, which we touched on a bit earlier.
Yeah.
They see these as like integral parts of the open science ecosystem.
Okay.
What's really interesting is how they envision a future where research is not just something that happens within the walls of universities and research institutions.
Right.
They see a world where citizens are actively involved in collecting data, analyzing findings, contributing to scientific discoveries.
Wow, okay.
And with open educational resources, we're talking about making educational materials like textbooks, course materials, freely available to everyone.
Yeah.
This has the potential to democratize knowledge, break down barriers to education.
It's like taking that collaborative research hub we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
And like expanding it.
Totally.
To encompass the entire world.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really, I think, powerful vision for the future of research and knowledge sharing.
It definitely is. Now, we've talked a lot about the what and the why of open science, but let's get practical for a moment.
Okay.
For our listener who's, you know, eager to learn and apply these principles,
yeah.
What are some like tangible steps that they can take to embrace open science in their own work?
That's a great question. I get that a lot, actually. Even if you're not a scientist working in a lab, there are still plenty of ways to incorporate the principles of open science into you, your work and life.
Let's hear them.
It's hard to really overstate the impact, you know, like the potential impact that open science could have on tackling those big challenges. You know?
Yeah. It really feels like, you know,
global challenges.
We're really on the cusp of a paradigm shift.
I think so, too.
Like this is.
Yeah.
This is big.
It is big. Imagine a world where researchers studying climate change in different parts of the world can instantly access and analyze each other's data.
Okay.
That kind of collaboration.
Yeah.
Could lead to breakthroughs in understanding, you know, how complex our planet's climate system is.
And hopefully to finding solutions faster.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Yeah. Or think about how open access to medical research could help address, you know, global health disparities. If researchers everywhere have access to the latest findings on diseases and treatments, you know, we could make huge strides in improving healthcare for everyone.
Yeah. It's about democratizing that knowledge.
Yes.
And putting it in the hands of the people who need it most.
Exactly. And I think open science also has the potential to kind of, you know, restore public trust in science a little bit.
Yeah.
When people can see how research is conducted, understand the data behind it, maybe even participate in the process.
Yeah.
It can help break down those walls of mistrust and misinformation that we see so often these days.
It's about making science more transparent.
Yes.
More accountable.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, like, more relevant to people's lives.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So where do we go from here? We've talked about, like, the vision, the policies, even some practical steps. But
yeah.
What does the future hold for open science?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
I think, like any movement that's experiencing, you know, this surge in popularity, open science will likely face some growing pains. There will be challenges, you know, that we have to address, ensuring equitable access, sustainable funding models, how to navigate these complex ethical considerations.
Right.
But I'm optimistic.
Me too. Me too. And I think it's really up to all of us, the researchers, the policymakers, you know, even everyday citizens,
yeah,
to help shape this future.
I agree.
You know, by embracing those principles of openness, collaboration, knowledge sharing,
yes,
we can create a world where research really does benefit everyone.
I love that.
This has been an incredible deep dive into the world of open science. We went from the foundational ideas to real-world applications. We even pondered the future of research. I hope this inspires you, our listeners, to keep exploring this fascinating landscape. Until next time, keep those minds open and those curiosity engines running.